Mike DeGubin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in the glorious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is Bob Griggs with the Bread of Life broadcast, and we're delighted to have you joining us once again as we're looking into the Word of God today. Those of you who have a complete Bible, we invite you to turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 2, where we're continuing our study in the matter of the seed of the woman. This time of year, we generally think about the period of time we refer to as Christmas, that is, the celebration of the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a very interesting passage that we're considering in reference to this first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, spoken of as the seed of the woman, one of the first prophecies made in the Word of God concerning the future. And it's a glorious prophecy, and so we're taking a little time from our other study to glimpse at this prophecy and to realize what it means to you and to me. So get your Bible, if you can, and turn with us to the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Those of you who have a New Testament, you can just go to 1 John, chapter 5, and verse 3, if you do not have the full Word of God, the full Bible. And those of you who do not have a Bible or a New Testament, we'd like to send a free New Testament to you containing the 27 books of the New Testament in one volume. We'll send it to you absolutely free. We'll send you a 2007 pocket calendar. We'll send you a prayer card. We'll send you the first three lessons of our first Bible correspondence course. We'll send you other Christian literature and materials absolutely free and postage paid, all wrapped up in one packet that we will mail to you. We'll pay the postage on this end, and you shouldn't have to pay anything there, for it will be sent as a gift to you. All we need is your name, your mailing address printed clearly, including the name of your country. And please print it clearly so we will be able to make out the address. If we do not know what the address is or cannot make it out, we won't be able to send you these items, and we certainly desire to place these items in your hands, free and postage paid. So we do look forward to hearing from you. Our address is Bob Griggs, B-O-B, and then capital G-R-I-G-G-S, Bob Griggs, Post Office Box, capital P period, capital O period, capital B-O-X, Post Office Box, 825. That's the number you need, 825. And then the next line is Ignacio. That's spelled capital I-G-N-A-C-I-O. Ignacio, comma, and then capital C-O. That's for the state we live in, the state of Colorado, capital C-O period. And then our zip code is very important, 81137-0825. Again, that zip code, 81137-0825. And then, of course, the last line would be United States of America. That way your letter or card will be sure and reach us here in the United States. So be sure and put United States of America on the last line, or USA, capital U period, capital S period, capital A, for United States of America. We do look forward to hearing from you, and occasionally we get letters that have been torn. The other day I just got the address of a letter that was sent to us, and I didn't get the letter. It was somehow destroyed in the mail, so I'll have to write those people and let them know we didn't get their letter. We only received their address. But if you have our correct address, we will get it, and if we get your address, then we'll be delighted to send you a packet of these materials. Now, again, we're in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, and beginning with verse 16. Notice the instructions that God gave to Adam in the Garden of Eden, this beautiful garden where the first man and the first woman were placed. Verse 16, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now, this is where we left off last time, and reminding that 1 John 5:3 in the New Testament, in front of the book of Revelation, 1 John, a little short book, chapter 5, verse 3 states, "For this is the love of God." And he's going to tell us, what is God's love? What's one of the ways that God shows us his love? "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." You see, beloved, God gave Adam and Eve a commandment there in the Garden of Eden not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was a commandment that God gave to Adam and Eve because he loved them, and he did not want to see them suffer the consequences and the results of sin. But Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They rejected God's love. They turned from the one commandment that God gave them, and thus Romans 5:12 tells us, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world." Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 in the New Testament. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death came as a result of sin." That's why people die. It's because of sin and the consequences of sin. For Romans 6:23, the second part tells us, "For the wages of sin is death." That's the penalty for sin, is death. And so that's why God told Adam and Eve, "Don't hurt yourself. Don't take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." The Ten Commandments that God has given us in his Word, these are words to guide and protect us from heartache and from grief and from sorrow and from trouble. It's because God loves us that he says, in other words, don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt yourself. That's why God gives us these commandments, to protect us and to keep us from hurting ourselves. But, beloved, every one of us are guilty of having gone ahead and disobeyed God and thus suffering the consequences of our sin. Now, here in Genesis chapter 3, we see that Adam and Eve are tempted and led into disobedience of the Word of God. Chapter 3, verse 1 tells us, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of the trees of the garden?" Now notice, Satan is the one that approaches Eve, and he uses a beautiful creature. Now remember, the serpent was a beautiful creature there in the Garden of Eden. It was not an ugly creature that crawls upon its belly today like a serpent does today. That was the curse that was placed upon the serpent. In the Garden of Eden, it was a beautiful creature, and Adam and Eve had no fear of it, because sin had not entered in. And so they had no fear of this beautiful creature, and that it could communicate and talk to them doesn't seem to have shocked Eve. She doesn't seem to have been amazed that it could talk to her. Now, I don't know. Perhaps in the Garden of Eden, the animals could communicate with man. I don't know. The Bible doesn't give us any indication regarding that, except that it seems that Eve was not surprised when the serpent spoke to her. Now, the one who really was speaking through the serpent was Satan. the last book of the Bible, you that have the New Testament in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, the last book of the Bible, we read who the serpent was. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And so we find out who the serpent, who was speaking through the serpent, who was using the serpent, this beautiful creature, to entice Eve to reject God's commandment and disobey the Lord God. And so we see what the devil says here. Now, the word subtle here in Genesis chapter 1 means cunning, crafty, wily. In other words, he was a beautiful creature that was deceptive. And Ezekiel 28:12 through 15 describes Satan in terms such as we see here. The serpent, we think of the snake itself, but Satan was the one behind the snake. There in Ezekiel, in the Old Testament, Ezekiel 28:12 through 15, the message is spoken to the king of Tyre, but actually it's referring to Satan, because the king of Tyre was never in the Garden of Eden, but Satan was, and that's one of the clues given there in Ezekiel 28, as a beautiful, beautiful description is given of this beautiful creature which God created to guard his holiness, Satan. And Satan rebelled against God because of his pride. He turned against God, and thus he began to fight against God and has been trying to destroy mankind, because mankind is God's chief creation that God created to bring glory to himself. And so we see that the serpent did not crawl upon its belly. Now, I mentioned this before, and you say, well, where does the Bible say that? Well, look at chapter 3 and verse 14 and 15. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. And so the serpent may have been something like a cow that walked on four feet, or like a horse, or like some other type of cattle. And above, he said, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. And upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. So we see the curse that was placed upon the serpent because of its rebellion and disobedience to God. And so, beloved, we see this beautiful creature was used by Satan to deceive and blind Eve and lead her into an act of disobedience to God. Now, we'll discuss this temptation of the devil the next time we get together. Till then, goodbye, and may the Lord richly bless you.